My Brother Has AIDS, Chapter 1. Lacey dived a shallow dive off her friend's dock into the warm lake. Her arms churned, each hand entering the water as if sliding under tight bed covers, the way Coach had taught her. Why didn't Jack write to me? She wondered, and the question hurt. She swam harder. Swimming could make her forget her disappointments, at least for a while. Stretch, pull, stretch, pull. Her arms found a rhythm, but the image of the letter that arrived with the morning mail intruded. The address written to her mother and father only, more legible than usual. No nicknames, no colored inks. I hate it when he leaves me out, she thought. It wasn't the first time he'd done it, and she resented it every time. She kicked hard, and a pain shot through her lower leg, a warning to warm up slowly. Pull, kick, glide. The hurt eased, but her curiosity remained. What's he writing about this time? Reaching another dock, she turned, switching to Butterfly for the 40 yards back to Emma's. Nearing it, she heard voices calling her name, and she waved to her friends before turning again to swim another lap of crawl. When she climbed onto Emma's dock and walked toward her friend, she felt awkward and ungainly, a land creature again. She inched her shoulders forward and tugged at her bathing suit, feeling that it didn't quite cover. "Can't wait for swim practice to start, huh, Lacey?" Emma waved a half-eaten Mars bar at her. "Bite?" Lacey shook her head. "I'm just getting a head start so I can knock some of the competition out of the pool this year." Lacey dropped onto a towel beside Emma, pulled off her bathing cap, and shook out her brown, curly hair. "Em," she said quietly, glancing at the three boys throwing a frisbee on Emma's lawn. "My parents got another private letter from my brother." "Private? He left you out?" "Yep. It came this morning, addressed to Mr. and Mrs. Mullins only. And they're still out on the boat, so I haven't had a chance to read it." She looked out toward the sailboats and powerboats cruising the lake. "Maybe this time he's writing about a girlfriend." "I doubt it. I don't think he's dated a girl since he took Wendy to their junior prom." "Was that a scam, him and Wendy going to the prom together?" Emma asked. "Did she know about Jack?" "Maybe. Or maybe he was really hot for her." "I'll bet they were just doing each other a favor." "I know. Maybe he's got a new boyfriend and he wants to bring him home to meet you all." "And dump Lincoln? They're practically married. I just hope Jack does come for a visit. With Lincoln, with a girlfriend, whatever. I haven't seen him in 4 years. Shh, here come the boys." Eddie cannonballed into the water beside Lacey, soaking her with spray. "You twit, Eddie!" she yelled. Bjorn dropped onto his towel and closed his eyes, mumbling, "Did you guys know Lacey misses the pool so much she wears chlorine as a perfume?" "I heard she sleeps in a racing suit, in a tub full of water," Carrie teased. "Yeah, wearing fins and a bathing cap, too," said Bjorn. "And goggles," Carrie added. "Cut it, you guys," Lacey said. Bjorn rolled over. "She dreams about lanes. Not memory lane, not lover's lane, but Lacey's lane. It's a loop, so she can swim forever." "Excellent idea," Lacey exclaimed. She stood up. "Come on, you finless freaks. Beach to that other dock." Chapter 2. Bicycling home from Emma's, Lacey followed the narrow two-lane road that skirted the lake, passing stretches of woods, trimmed and overgrown lawns, cottages and rambling houses. For a few moments she missed Jack the way she did when she was 5 and he left home to go to college, and she cried at the top of the jungle gym every day during recess for a week. She thought of the gifts Jack had brought her each Christmas, a copy of The Velveteen Rabbit, which Jack patiently read to her 3 times in a row without pause, a red-and-white checkered stuffed bear that she named Mr. Huggins, and her first pair of swim goggles, which she unwrapped and insisted on wearing all through dinner. A 1/4 mile from Emma's, she turned into her own driveway and wheeled her bicycle under the porch. She found her mother in the kitchen, staring at a cup of steaming coffee. The letter from Jack lay on the counter, tucked halfway into its torn envelope. "What's up with Jack, Mom?" She reached for the letter. Her mother spoke sharply. "He wrote just to your father and me." Lacey withdrew her hand. Well, excuse me. I just wanted to know how he's doing. When her mother picked up her coffee mug, Lacey saw her mother's hand was trembling. What's wrong? Nothing, Lacey. I just need a few minutes alone. Her mother smoothed the graying hair above her ears. Must be a big nothing. She waited, shifting from one foot to the other, uneasily. Her mother smoothed her hair again, a familiar, nervous gesture. Okay, Lacey said, talking over her shoulder as she retreated to her room. I'll be upstairs studying. Second week of school and we're having a test already. And I need to talk to you. My bathing suits are getting too small. And Julia's mother wants to split the driving to swim meets. In her bedroom, one corner of the poster of Olympic swimmer Janet Evans had sprung loose. She searched for a thumbtack and fixed it. Opening a National Geographic magazine to an article on African primates, she laid it on the floor, then took a framed snapshot of herself and Jack off the bureau and stretched out beside the magazine on the carpet. The photo was taken the summer before Jack left for college, when he took a job cooking meals and doing household chores for feeble Mr. Bowler. She remembered sitting on the back porch that summer, overhearing her father and Jack in the kitchen. Her father asked Jack to work in one of his two hardware stores for the rest of the summer. Jack answered no, and her father got angry. I've got at least a dozen guys working for me whose sons are dying to come work in my stores, her father said. Great, answered Jack. Then you don't need me. How do you think it feels that my son doesn't want to work there? Doesn't even drop by? I'm busy with my own stuff, protested Jack. Your own stuff. Being a housemaid for an old man? Her father's voice was icy. I think your stuff is for sissies. Jack burst through the door and ran past Lacey down the porch steps. Scared and upset by her father's temper, Lacey ran around to the front door to find her mother. Later, her mother sent her across the neighbor's yard to Mr. Bowler's to tell Jack their supper was ready. She stood outside the kitchen window unseen. Frogs cheeped in the fading light. The old man held his head in his hands. Jack leaned forward, hands clasped in front of him on the table, talking earnestly. A pizza steamed between them. Lacey watched the old man lift his head and listen intently to her brother. Lacey heard her mother climbing the stairs, and she put the photo back on her bureau. Lacey? Her mother paused outside the door. I need to talk to you about Jack. Her mother came in, sat on the bed, and gazed out the window. Lacey looked down at the magazine photographs of baboons, then back to her mother, who was now rubbing one hand with the thumb of her other. Lacey looked down at the magazine photographs of baboons, then back to her mother, who was now rubbing one hand with the thumb of the other. Then her mother looked straight at her, and Lacey saw a strange twist to her mouth. Lacey, there is something I need to tell you. She paused. It's about time, Lacey thought. Her mother looked so uncomfortable that Lacey felt a little sorry for her. I already know, Mom. Her mother looked surprised and alarmed. You do? About Jack being gay? She spoke in a rush. I already figured that out after we saw him in Colorado. It wasn't difficult. Her mother stared at her. And, Lacey looked away, feeling a little sheepish, I read the letter he wrote after that trip, the one where he told you about him and Lincoln. I know it wasn't addressed to me, she looked at her mother, but I don't get what the secret is. It's not such a big deal, Mom. Come out of the dark. Her mother shook her head. Lacey waited, curious, a small tightness in her belly. Jack has AIDS. Lacey drew in a breath sharply. What? She fought off a sense of horror, hoping she had heard wrong. Her mother's voice sounded scratchy, as if the words were being pulled out. He's got AIDS, Lacey. Lacey felt like the wind had been knocked out of her. So he's going to die? No. Her mother cut her off harshly, then softened her voice. I don't know exactly what will happen to him. She went back to staring out the window and rubbing the spot on her hand. Lacey took a deep breath, trying to slow her racing heart. I can't believe it. How did he get it? Her mother bit her lower lip. His damn boyfriend, Lincoln. She shook her head slowly. Lincoln? Exclaimed Lacey. How could he? How could he have given it to Jack? I mean, why would he? Weren't they... I mean, why didn't they... She stopped, stunned. Mom, what happened? Her mother stood up and began pacing back and forth, wringing her hands. Lincoln was infected by a previous boyfriend. When he and Jack started to date, Lincoln didn't know he'd already been infected until he showed signs of being sick. And by then, she practically spit out the words, it was too late. He'd infected Jack. She stopped pacing and rubbed her forehead. Lincoln is dead, and Jack wrote that he is very ill. He wants to come home. Wow, I can't believe it, Lacey murmured. Her mother walked over to the window and ran a finger along the Venetian blind. I need to dust in here, she said. Mom, who cares about the stupid dust? Is he coming home? Her mother wiped her hand on her pants. Your father and I are discussing it now. Just the two of you? What about what I think? Her mother hesitated. Honey, we'll do what's best for Jack. But I want to decide with you. Please stay in your room for now. I'll call you when dinner's ready. Her mother's jaw trembled as she turned away. She doesn't want me to see her cry, Lacey thought, and she closed the door after her mother went downstairs. She leafed through the baboon pictures, primates snarling, picking lice, cuddling babies, and munching on fronds. It was so hard to believe. She'd heard that the disease was rampant in Africa, killing adults and children, that it was spreading in cities like San Francisco and New York and Boston. She never thought it would affect her here in Wilton, a small Maine town, or Jack, who lived in a small town in Colorado. She headed for the phone in her parents' bedroom. Her mother picked up the extension downstairs before Lacey had finished dialing Emma's number. Lacey, who are you calling? Just Emma. Lacey, I don't want you to tell anyone about Jack yet. I'm not sure I'm ready, she stammered. It's a lot to tell someone, and people need to be prepared. Nobody prepared me, Lacey snapped. Her mother's voice became calm and firm. I'll let you know when it's okay to tell people. Mom, when I didn't want to go out on the boat with you and Dad this morning, you said that was fine, that I'm old enough to do what I want. Her voice rose. You said that to Dad, remember? She wished she weren't sounding so shrill. She wished she could sound calm and logical. Lacey, that was this morning. This is different. I mean it. I'm 13, Mom, not 3. Lacey, that's enough. Lacey slammed down the phone.